I want to take you with me to Ephesians. And we're going to be touching a little bit on chapter 4, and then we're probably going to backtrack to chapter 3. So, for your information, if you have my Bible, it's page 1300. So, I don't know if that'll help you at all, but 1300. Not Pennsylvania Avenue either. Got it? Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to touch on verse 14. Now, St. Paul was writing to the Ephesians. And if you look at verse 1, it says, chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Chicopee, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Got it? Now you say, why did I put Chicopee in there? Because he was writing to the city church of Ephesus. Verse 14, chapter 4. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ, or the Anointed One. From him, the whole body joined and held together, notice it's the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each does its part and its work. So if you've got a neighbor, look him in the eye. Say, you're going to do your part too. And so will I. Then we'll grow up in love. Hallelujah. Look at another neighbor. Say, get with it.
That felt good.
Huh? How many found the words hard to digest? Okay, it can be done. Now, does it mean that we have to mature and be ahead of ourselves? No. You're going to be who you are in Christ, and you're going to be different than the other guy. That is God's way. That other person is going to have talents and abilities that you don't have. They're going to see things about you that you haven't been able to be seen or can see because you may have some blind spots.
Amen.
Okay? And I remember years back, the Holy Spirit was teaching me a lesson while I was washing windows. It was spring cleaning time, and you know, it's good to be done. Lots of fingerprints. And I am scrubbing on this particular window, and I'm not getting anywhere, and I turned around and I went on the other side. Come to find out, it was a flaw in the glass. And the Lord said to me, you're trying to take out something that's not going to be removed. It's not surface stuff, it's inside. Now you say, are you trying to tell me that I got flaws on the inside? Yes, I am. Get over it. We all have some. Okay? But while you're looking at the next guy trying to fix him or her, you're going to fail. Because the one that does the best job on that with his or her can of cleaner is the Lord. Because the Holy Ghost is inside. The Holy Spirit is inside of you and of me. He can take out that flaw and make it disappear. He might burn it. He might wash it away. Whatever he chooses, he knows how to handle it. So it's not going to be the wrong kind of Windex or too much ammonia or too much vinegar. It's going to be the Holy Ghost. He'll come at you in fire or in water to do a house cleaning that you could never clean, even if you tried. And if you run ahead of schedule, you're going to learn about my sister who shared a few moments ago that if she would have fixed it when she wanted to fix it, it wouldn't have produced the good fruit that she found at this time in her life. Now let's go back. Chapter 3. And we're going to be touching on verse 7. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God and God's grace, given through the workings of his power. Although I am blessed, I am less than last of all God's people. This grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, which is the anointing, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden. You say, well, why are you pointing this out? Because there are things that are hidden in humanity that God is about to deal with. He's building the body of Christ for doing much better than window cleaner. Kept hidden in God who created all things. Verse 10 is very important. His intent was that now through the church, are you the church? Are you the church by yourself? No. If you think you're the church by your own little group, I've got news for you. Through the church, the manifold wisdoms of God. Notice it's manifold. It's multiples of ways that he can use each individual. Manifold wisdoms of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Wait a minute. You mean you're going to teach the demons what's happening in the earth? That's exactly what he's going to do. You, the people of God, as a church and corporate body in unity and in harmony, will be able to tell the darkness where to go and how fast to get there. You say, wait a minute. Why didn't anybody ever tell me that we needed to be a church in order to complete the mission that the Father had given us? I thought I could do this all by myself. Have fun. Those multiples of gifts are in every single one of those individuals that are in this building right now. And each one is separated by his own individuality and construction by God. Why is it so important that you and I develop into maturity is so that each of these mature gifts will work as one unit before God. And he's put this together for, first of all, this area, which we talked about earlier. Watch again. I'm going to repeat verse 10. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdoms of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, not your plan, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12, in him, through the faith in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which are for your glory. Several months ago, Gail had a vision around the holidays. Via Dolorosa. A place of walking in consistent pain. That's what the Via Dolorosa is. We happen to walk on that area of Jerusalem where Jesus carried his cross. And it was the pits. A few weeks later, as Gail has shared, she couldn't walk. She would weep and cry out for help and couldn't even go to the bathroom by herself. She had to have help. Well, you say, why should Gail be allowed to suffer? Because it was God's plan to awaken in her the power of his truth to her. Now, is she all done learning? Absolutely not. Am I all done learning? No. Are the things that I suffer going to be used for me to get to a better place? Yes. If you look at your pain and you say, oh my God, I'm the only one that's suffering. Now, you've never cried that out because you're believers, right? I've got news for you. Believers do cry.
Amen.
Okay? And they do hurt. St. Paul was suffering for the glory of the overall purpose. What Gail went through, she's now helping others. You say, well, who are they? It's none of your business. That's her business. It's her business to obey the Lord. Verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derive its name. That's the heavenly church and the earthly church. They're joined together before the Father without guilt or condemnation because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. In my inner man, I have abilities that I have yet to touch. Because they have not developed yet. Look at your neighbor. Look him in the eye. Say, you have abilities inside your inner man or inner woman that you haven't developed yet. But God's on the job. And I'll be praying for you. Now, how many had more than one to agree with? It's okay to go two or three. You understand, where two or three are in agreement, God will touch. God will do inside of you what you could never conceive. He's got hidden plans, hidden agendas that you are not ready to handle mentally, emotionally maybe. There's a season in growing and in maturing. How many know you didn't enter high school after grade school? You had to go through cycles. 8 different years of challenges. Then you went into high school. Then you go into college. Why don't they put teenagers in college? Because it's time for them to mature. And there's this season for maturity. Amen? Amen. Again, verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power and through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's by believing that this is a reality, that it is a real truth, that you're going to get there. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints. Did you hear? It's not on your own. You're not alone. To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Woohoo! You say, I'm going to be filled with the fullness of God? That's what he said.
Are you in the NIV?
Yes, I am. Now, are you going to be filled with the same Holy Ghost and the power that was in Christ? Yes, that's his whole plan. You say, well, my God, I got a ways to go. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the club. Okay?
You're not going to get there overnight. But you are going to get there, because he who began the good work will complete it. Now, if you get discouraged along the way, God will anoint somebody to intercede for you. You say, well, my goodness. You mean I got to depend on some, maybe, attitude person that's going to be praying for me? They should be perfect before they pray for me. No, I've got news for you. There is no such animal. Every single one of us has flaws, like the inside of that glass that I was trying to clean. It had flaws. Don't wait to be perfect before you pray. Don't wait to be perfect before you pray. You say, well, I don't know if it's going to do any good. It's none of your business. Do the work. He'll give you the payoff later. Okay. I'm going to give you one little story and then we're going to stop. When we first started the prayer group in Three Rivers, I would say this is probably around 1980. We had a lady that came from the north end of Springfield, and one of her friends came with her. And when we asked her what the problem was, she said she had a virus and warts had formed underneath both of her feet. And they were going to surgically remove all those warts in Boston, but it was going to take weeks because they had to do it section by section. The underneath of her feet were unbelievable. So she sat on a chair, because we used to have what we call the hut chair. And so we'd sit the chair in the middle and we'd all lay hands on her. And we did. We prayed and we anointed her and we asked God and we prayed and we anointed her feet. And off she went to Boston, supposedly. Well, this was about 7 years later. I'm now working at Grace Church of Christ. And it's on a Wednesday, I'll never forget it. I had like backup appointments and it was a real, what you could call a real weird, exhausting day. I finally went upstairs into the sanctuary and all I felt like doing was crying because my body was just wiped out. But I wanted to go up there to be re-lifted up because I needed the body of Christ to pray for me. I had been praying for others, but that was their turn to pray for me. And I knew God would provide. So I'm sitting kind of in the back. And I mean, I've got tears not flowing on the outside of my eyes, but on the inside of my heart. And the accuser was saying, look at that. You've just worn yourself out. You're dead on your own feet. Why didn't you just go home? But I didn't. I didn't listen to my brain because I know the brains cannot always be trusted. So I'm sitting there and I kind of got down emotionally. And the people are worshiping the Lord and the message is given. And there were two ladies that were sitting behind me. Service is all done. Pastor says, now go ahead and share some hugs with your neighbor. Or something to that effect. And this lady taps me on the shoulder and she says, are you a Mr. Bergeron? And I said, and I've never seen this lady. And I said, yes, I am. She says, did you have a group that used to pray in a little village out in Palmer? Well, of course, my ears perked up and I said, yes, we did. She says, do you remember a lady coming to you that had warts on both feet? Well, it was such an outstanding request that I had not forgotten it. But in my brain, I'm trying to recapture some of this. She said, do you recognize me? And I said, no. She says, I'm the lady who had the warts on both feet. I says, you are? She says, yes, and I never had the surgery because the next morning they were all gone. Who lifted me up?
She did.
Why did God send her then? I needed it. needed the warts removed from my heart. I was wiped out. How many of you have ever been totally wiped out? You just want to crash. Then that provision was given to me by a total stranger. I never saw her again, but it was provided by God for me. Now I want you to close your eyes. I want you to put your right hand over your heart. Say, God sees my heart. He'll know when I'm wiped out. But he will make provision through the body of Christ. On the day appointed that I need it. He will release healing in me. He will release living water out of their heart. To wash away whatever pain I have. Or discouragement. Because it's the same Jesus that's in them, that is in me. Should he appoint me to pray for someone, I will do it by faith. I'll believe by faith. And God will get the glory, and the miracles will take place, because that's his plan for his church. And for me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Share some hugs with each other. This is all.